Agenda, Administrative Agenda, A02-11. The Public Utilities Commission of Nevada, President Carson City.
Rebecca Wagner.
And President Las Vegas.
Luis Valera.
And I'm Lena Burtonshaw. Item 1A, I think all these are Executive Director items. 1A, Ms. Jackson.
Thank you, Chairman. For your consideration and vote this morning is an amendment to our agency travel policy, which is 3.1. The changes are specifically reflected on pages 5 and 7 of the policy. On page 5, specifically, the bonus flight points earned from Southwest Airlines as a result of state-paid air travel, if this is approved, would now be used by the Commission to meet state travel needs. Rising gas prices are having a significant impact on our state travel budget, and as a result, the Commission has had to scale back on its travel. What we're looking at with this new process is that when air travel is booked on Southwest, the fiscal division would then account for those travel points that are paid for by the Commission. Fiscal would not track travel points that are paid for by outside entities or organizations or ARA. So any of the federal money that's used for travel, we would not be tracking those points and then reusing those to book state travel. The points are established by the price that's paid for the ticket. So depending on the ticket price, that will depend on how many points are earned. And when you book that ticket, at the time of booking, it will tell you how many points you will accrue as a result of that ticket purchase. Fiscal is also currently working on an e-travel system that will ultimately allow all travel information, to include reimbursement information, to be available and viewed by employees. So it is our expectation that we would include this new tracking system of these points on that e-travel system. We also envision that once an employee has earned enough state-tracked points, that the employee would be contacted by a member of the fiscal division to redeem their next travel, assuming they're flying on Southwest. Again, this is only for Southwest airline travel, both in-state and out-of-state. So the employee would be required to log in to their Southwest account and redeem their points for that ticket. There would be a fee that Southwest charges, I believe it's $2.50, that the employee would have to pay at the time that ticket is redeemed, and then they would have to seek reimbursement on their travel claim for that $2.50. I realize this may be a bit tricky to get off the ground. It does sound a little bit complex in trying to track the points, as well as to work with individual employees to try to redeem those point allowances. But the fiscal division has expressed an interest that they are up for the challenge. And again, it is an effort to stretch the agency travel budget as far as we possibly can in order to continue to be able to travel to meet the needs of the agency. And this isn't an idea that came from state employees internally in an effort to help with the shortfall. So today, I am only asking for the authority to pursue this. In the event that it does become too cumbersome or we're not benefiting, if there's no benefit, if we're not seeing the money go back into agency travel, then I would certainly bring the matter back to the Commission at that time and make whatever changes are necessary. But we are of the opinion that if we do redeem some of these points that are earned at Commission expense, that it would be a worthwhile measure to pursue. And it's a good time to start it since we will be starting a new fiscal year, July 1st. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the second change is reflected on page 7. And this essentially requires employees to submit a receipt for lodging reimbursement. Currently, receipts are not required for reimbursement of the CONUS rate for lodging up to $77 per night, regardless of the actual cost for lodging. So for example, if you're in a CONUS-designated area and you stay with a friend, you can still submit a travel claim and claim up to $77, even though you didn't incur that expense. So the idea here is to require receipts for all lodging so that you will be reimbursed what you incurred. And we believe, you know, this change to be very fair and equitable across the board for all state employees, or PUC employees, I should say. And with that, I would entertain questions, and this is an item for your vote today.
Any questions or comments?
I have a couple of, I guess, comments. Ms. Jackson did a good job of walking through the bonus flight issue. One thing I would note is that it's $2.50 per segment, so a round trip is $5.
That's correct.
So just wanted to make sure that we were aware of that.
We were thinking of just flying you one way.
I'm not surprised. But it would be on somebody else's dime, so I get to keep the points. The other thing is, and I appreciate that fiscal is up for the challenge, because I think it's going to be a challenge, and I'll be interested to see how it works out. Because it could either be great or it could be minimal, because we could have a large number of employees that fly very little, or we could have a large number that fly a lot. So it's going to be a challenge, because I don't think we can pool all of our points to actually generate airfare or free airfare with that regard. So I think it's going to be a challenge, but I think it's worth it. We need to trim where we can. I sadly try to avoid traveling as much as possible, but people keep paying for me to go, so I have to. But I think we all need to be cognizant of our travel, and if this is going to help, and fiscal's up for it, of course I would support it. Ms. Ska, it's going to be a tracking nightmare in my opinion, but I know you can do it.
We have good help.
So those are my only comments.
Mr. Blair?
I would, thank you, Madam Chair. I would just encourage patience, just because I know that since Southwest went from the rapid reward system over to this new point system, it's difficult pinning down someone at Southwest who can explain how the point system works, how their formula is better for the consumer. So it'll be interesting to watch how we go about getting answers and kind of figuring out whether it's pooling or accessing those points. So I would certainly encourage patience, and I want to commend Ms. Jackson for taking this on.
That translation, good luck with that.
Yeah, I agree. I think since they changed their program from the, you know, so many flights, round trip flights, and then you get a free ticket to the bonus points, I think that it's probably less, it may be less valuable than it would have been before. But I think certainly if fiscal wants to give a shot, we got to give them the opportunity to do it. But I also agree with Ms. Jackson, if it turns out to just be a nightmare for fiscal, we'd like to hear about that so we can rethink it. Because I don't want to have to have a bunch, I'd hate to have a bunch of administrative inefficiency for something that's really not going to be that beneficial. But we don't know that, so I think we need the opportunity to find out if it's going to be. And so I would certainly support that. And I definitely support the one about we should be paying what people are out of pocket, period, end of story. So I think they should be required to have a receipt. So I would support that, and would move that we accept the amendment to the travel policy as described by Ms. Jackson.
Second.
Concur.
Okay, and 1B.
Thank you. Item 1B is essentially a letter to the Board of Examiners requesting that we have permission to require the lodging receipts. The Board of Examiners sets this schedule pursuant to statute, so this change does have to be approved by them. The letter was due to them by April the 7th in order to be placed on their agenda for May the 10th. So since you approved the policy, then if you are willing to approve this letter, we'll proceed with that May 10th agenda.
Okay. Then I would move that we accept the letter to the, we accept the letter drafted by Ms. Jackson to go to the Board of Examiners.
I'll second.
You say, right?
Concur.
Okay. Item 1C.
Okay, item 1C is a summary of our fiscal year 2011 financial information. I am happy to report that in personnel services, we are projecting a shortfall of about $2,500. We have been closely monitoring this category for quite some time now. As you'll recall, we started out with about a $128,000 shortfall. So we've gotten that down to about $2,500. We will continue to monitor that. You know, in the event we have an unexpected termination prior to the end of this fiscal year, we may have to do a housekeeping work program and transfer monies into that category to cover that shortfall. But again, we'll continue to monitor it. I'm not expecting that we'll need to go over to IFC to ask for additional funds. With respect to in-state travel, we just talked briefly about that. We were projecting a shortfall, and we did have to do a housekeeping work program to transfer money into the in-state travel category. The money was transferred out of training and also out of state travel. With respect to expert consultants, we do have an item on the May 10th Board of Examiners agenda for the Hudson River Energy Group contract in the amount of $55,000, and this was to assist staff with the upcoming Nevada Power Company's depreciation study for electric operations, which we're expecting June 1st. The ARRA funds, we're continuing to draw those down. We're relatively on target with those funds. And with respect to our reserve, we're right where we need to be. Our adjusted optimum level is between 2.2 and 2.7, and our current reserve is at approximately 2.4 million. Are there any questions?
On the Category 9 expert consultants, Ms. Jackson?
Yes.
If we go before the Board of Examiners on May 10th, I presume that means we'll be able to enter, if they approve it, we can enter into the contract with the Hudson River Group at that stage?
That's correct. They typically make the decision that day.
Okay. So there won't be any lag time between the time staff can hire the consultant and the time that the case is actually filed?
Should not be.
Okay. Great. Cool. All right. That's all I have. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
No questions.
I have none.
And item 1D.
Item 1D, the Renewable Energy and Energy Efficiency Authority requested the commission to do a small business impact statement for a proposed regulation on the 2009 International Energy Efficiency Code. Staff performed the Delphi method and has concluded that there is no direct or significant economic burden on small business. So this, I believe, is an informational item today. Just wanted you to be aware that we will be submitting this over to the Energy Efficiency Authority. And I believe Mr. Lamojo is available if there's any questions.
Any questions or comments?
No questions.
Well, my only comment is I know how much staff enjoys doing these, and so I really appreciate that they're willing to take their time, patience, effort, and expertise in helping out another agency, because I know that these are not easy and they are sort of a pain. But nevertheless, I appreciate the staff's diligence in doing this.
And if I could just add too, Chairman, they didn't have a lot of time. We were contacted at a very late date asking that the small business impact statement be done, and staff really scrambled even to get it onto this agenda so that we could get it over timely to them. So much appreciated their work.
Yeah, absolutely. Item 1E.
Item 1E is an informational item regarding administrative fines by docket. This is as a result of our recent Legislative Council Bureau audit. And just to keep the commission apprised of the fines that are due, the payments that have been received. And as you may recall, we are required to pass on any collections that we're not successful with over to the controller's office. And so they are tasked with making these collections. And these monies are deposited into the state general fund. They do not go into the commission's account.
Yeah, I was noticing the all the fines are almost exclusively telecom companies that have come in and out of our jurisdiction. That kept me busy writing, looking at briefing memos for years, in and out. So I wish them luck. Okay, item 1F.
Item 1F, I just wanted to advise that earlier this week we were contacted by the Senate Finance Committee, and they were asking the commission to explore some alternatives for the governor's energy office to offset their general fund monies. Essentially, the governor's energy office budget has about $500,000 of general fund money for the next biennium. And the Senate Finance Committee, I believe, is looking to fund and offset that with other monies. So they have sent over an inquiry to us asking what solutions we have. And they've put a couple on the table for us. One is they're asking if the commission is able to absorb this $500,000 over the next biennium, or if the commission would be willing to tack on an additional mill rate on electric and natural gas utilities in order to assist the governor's energy office. I had a discussion with the governor's office yesterday, and they have advised that they are not supportive of any measure that will require an increase in fees, tax, or otherwise. With that said, I can send information over to the legislative committee with respect to the commission collecting a mill assessment similar to what we do for the Bureau of Consumer Protection. We would collect the monies and then send it over to the energy office directly. Obviously, there is an impact on all of the customer classes, to include residential, commercial, industrial, and the IS2. And so again, the information would need to be sent over to the legislative committee with the caveat that the governor's office does not support the measure. The other option they asked us to explore was with respect to our reserve account. And specifically, that would require transferring approximately $250,000 this fiscal year and next fiscal year, which ultimately in fiscal year 2012 would result in about a $2 million reserve for the commission. As we just discussed, right now the optimum reserve level is between 2.2 and 2.7, so that would put us slightly below our optimum reserve level. In fiscal year 2013, another transfer of $250,000 would put us at about $1.7 million, which would even be further below our optimum reserve level. However, these projections are based on last year's intrastate gross operating revenues. We have not received those revenue numbers yet from the utilities. Those come in May 15th when they file their annual reports. And also, this doesn't take into account any savings that the commission may have throughout the year in any of their expenditure categories. So I'm not certain I can safely testify that by making these transfers, the commission would not have to raise its mill as a result. The third option that we were able to come up with was with respect to the universal energy collections. As you know, we collect those monies and we send them over to welfare and to housing. The commission statutorily is allowed to keep up to 3% of those monies to cover its administrative costs for collecting the money. And we historically have kept about 0.5% of that money, which is roughly $60,000. That basically leaves $300,000+ that we have been transferring over to welfare and housing to be used by the programs for weatherization and to offset costs for those who qualify for the program with respect to their electricity use. After further discussion with the governor's office today, they do not support this measure either, because they feel that this money, even though statutorily it belongs to the commission, they feel that because we've been transferring it over to these programs and it's been utilized, that we would now be taking, you know, program dollars away that have been used for the elderly and the poor. So with that said, just wanted you to be aware, the governor's energy office budget is scheduled to close on Friday. I may very well be asked to come over and testify on these measures, and I will indicate at that time, you know, that the governor's office is not supportive of these. They are recommending the GovRec, which includes the general fund monies, to pay for this $500,000. So I'm available if you have any questions. And lastly, our budget is scheduled to close this Saturday, April 30th at 8 a.m. So any of you wishing to join us will be in room 4100.
Any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
I have a question for general counsel, I suppose. Are there any reserve, statutorily protected reserve requirements that might prevent the legislature from sweeping the account?
There is, but they have in the past taken our money notwithstanding that. So,
but Commissioner,
and Ms. Jackson can address that specifically, I think.
Commissioner, essentially the mill assessment statute indicates that the mill assessment is to fund the operations of the commission. It doesn't go on to say to fund general fund or any other state office. However, with that said, the legislators can change the law, as we know. So what's typically happened is, you know, they will come in and they will sweep our reserve account as they do other state agency accounts and take that money and put it into general fund. And, you know, typically what they've done is anything over our optimum reserve level has been at risk. They've not in the past removed monies that would take us, you know, below that optimum reserve level. But again, keep in mind that optimum reserve level fluctuates based on cuts. So when we're fully funded, our optimum reserve level is between 2.4 and 2.8. And that's without the furloughs, without the merit reductions, without the longevity reductions. But it has been adjusted for the upcoming potential 5% pay cuts, et cetera. Did that answer your question?
So would it be fair, I think it does, would it be fair to interpret that as meaning that the 2.2 reserve level is our ground floor?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you have to appear on Friday, you have three scenarios, none of which the governor's office supports.
That's correct, Chairman. That, you know, I think the governor's office is would somewhat support the reserve monies being transferred over. However, they want a commitment that the commission will not raise its mill because of that transfer.
And we can't make that commitment.
I don't know that that's a sword I want to fall on. There's a lot of things
I'm particularly concerned about the fact that we're not exactly sure what collections we're going to have, because you know, we do have, we don't have the same level of growth we used to have in our service territories.
And with that said, you know, we're expecting that we'll probably have to raise the mill anyhow because those revenues will probably come in lower than they have in the past. So lower revenues, higher mill, higher revenues, lower mill. So we may very well be having to raise it without transferring any money.
Right. And they're aware of that problem?
They are aware of that. Because that is already within statute, we have that flexibility to make that adjustment as needed. So they understand the distinction between our mill assessment and then having to raise the mill assessment because of money being transferred out.
Okay. All right. Commissioner Wagner, anything?
I would only add that we go through this every single session. Usually the end of April, beginning of May, trying to close our budget. And then there's a fight between the governor's office and the legislature on how to fund the energy office. And now REIA, which is going to be combined back into the energy office, hopefully. But it's an ongoing debate, has been since I've been doing this. And, you know, in discussions with Stacy Crowley, the acting REIA commissioner and director of the Office of Energy, they recognize they need to figure it out. And I think we all need to come to the table during the interim and find either a stable funding source, or the legislature needs to stop piling on the duties in those two offices. It's gotten ridiculous since I've been there. And you end up having to pick and choose what you can do based on your funding and the people that you have. And then when you don't do it, you get yelled at by the legislature. And then they automatically look to us. And I think it's just, it's flawed. If we want to have a policy division for the governor on energy, then it needs to be find a stable funding source. That's not going to happen in this session, but just historically, we go through this every single time, and we'll probably hear proposals again this year of combining the energy office into the PUC, which absolutely doesn't work. So kind of feels like Groundhog Day, but I think it's good for all of us to be informed historically and moving forward. The legislature and the governor's office need to make some choices about what their expectations are and what their needs are. So off of my soapbox.
And with that said, if I could just add, Commissioner Wagner raises a good point, because typically at the end of session and sometimes during special session is when our reserves actually get swept. So one of the things that I informed the governor's office yesterday was, you know, we have a little bit of money. I think it's going to go somewhere. I really doubt we'll keep it in reserve, whether it goes to the energy office or whether it goes to general fund. It'll probably go somewhere, but they can't do both. They can't come in and take the $500,000 and then at the end of session come in and want more money to supplement another program. So I tried to, you know, get them to understand that they need to decide where they want this money to go, because ultimately I think it will go. The question is where. So we just want to make sure that this doesn't get transferred over relatively soon, and then the end of session they come back in and say, oh, look, we need another million for education, for teacher salaries, or what have you.
Okay. This is anything we have to vote on, right?
No.
All right. Well, Ms. Jackson, good luck.
Thank you.
And my offer still stands. If you need another body there to take the hit with you, I'll come on up.
Thanks.
Okie doke. Miscellaneous item, is there any comments by the general public? In Carson?
No, Chairman.
In Las Vegas? No one is coming forward. All right. We are adjourned.